Cinema Audio Veritas.
And here we go. Good evening, everybody. It's the Fakeologist Show. It is Thursday, May the 23rd, 2024. And we're starting now. Oh, I missed the post. Now.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Kingdom come, thy will be done. All right, that's Sister Janet. Me, that's the Lord's Prayer. I don't know when I first heard that song, but sure is uplifting, Frank. And welcome back on your Thursday show.
Well, thank you very much, Tim, and thank you for having me back again.
Well, you're welcome.
And an excellent output from you again this week, I must say.
Oh, thank you. And
I particularly enjoyed the Gemma interview with Phil. And
you mean the one I was not in?
The one you were, your stars, the people you've raised up.
Well, yeah, I think
is this going to be another episode of A Star Is Born?
I think there's stars in their own right before even I came along. But I thought Lynn should have had her own show a long time ago, but. Obviously, nobody reached out to her, but yeah, she carries that show with her history lessons. Everyone just sits and listens. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's we don't know how many of those facts are
correct
or anything, but it's certainly, she has a great memory, and she has a view about how the world works, which she presents very well.
Yeah, and she does sidestep a lot of the Jewish questions, but I think she is Jewish, actually. I think she said that.
Yeah, I got that impression.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she said that, but she kind of deflects it. I'm always waiting for a confrontation because, you know, we have people on that really think the Jews are the enemy of the world, and yet they're talking to a very knowledgeable Jew, so... You know, it's a complicated situation in that case, but I just to be clear, no one from my staff of one hates Jews, and we're not anti-Semitic by definition. We're not anti-Jewish. We're not anti-Palestinian. We're really not anti anyone. We're pursuing the truth wherever it goes, and if some people think that the Jews run the world, then I think we should be able to say that and without hate, because if it's a fact, it's a fact. If there's certain Holocaust facts that are against the narrative and soon to be against the law, I still think that's wrong, that we can't talk about things. So try and be open-minded, and that's how I want to continue to conduct my affairs.
Oh. What I thought was interesting was that at the end of Gemma's session,
yeah,
was the the discussion did fall back to the Bible and the competing ideas of Phil was obviously has a view similar to mine in that Jesus Christ identified the Jews as being the children of Satan, or the Pharisees, I should say.
Right. Yes. Phil does have a view. We don't, Phil, everyone has a million views, and we don't get in everyone's views on everything. But yes, Phil does seem to have an emerging religious view. I'm not really into that kind of thing as you are, but Phil, I guess, has been expressing it lately.
Yeah. So I think we're finding more and more, discussion of the Bible is taking place with regard to all of the analyses of how the world works.
And, well, yeah, people.
I wonder if that's really, again, how much of it just comes from our own thinking, and how much of it is just me absorbing the rhetoric that that's being imposed on us by another Tavistock Institute situation. The only thing I can say that appears clear to me is that in terms of the legal system and so on, it does all appear to be based on city KV trusts and declarations of soul, and there is a the Bible one way or another is underpinning the circumstances we find ourselves in legally.
Okay. And let me just, this is interesting. Gemma runs a show similar to mine, except she does video. And of course, her audio is not very good because she doesn't speak into a mic, speaks into a webcam. But, you know, she's a nice woman. But I'm just watching Lynn. Lynn has definitely got an interesting look to her, a unique look. It almost looks like she's blind. I've seen blind people.
Oh, she did my thing with the big
look. I don't think Lynn is blind, but just her eyes seem like they're closed. Not quite sure what's going on there. But the point I wanted to make is with video, because Lynn speaks many times with her hands. It's so distracting watching hands in a video. Yeah. So I this is why I don't waste my time with video.
And I made that same mistake in that video that I did with Cottage Remedies, with Emily from Cottage Remedies.
Yeah, I remember you. Yeah, I was so distracted by your hands signaling. I was actually trying to decode a message. Maybe you were sending a message with your hands.
that's how it looked, wasn't it? And yeah, when I was watching do the same thing, it's very distracting. But luckily, it was a much smaller picture of her. You know, she's just one of three people in the screen.
Yeah. Well, it's distracting.
It is
enough.
Very distracting.
I listen to this audio. I don't watch videos. I just play them when I'm driving my thousands of miles. So I don't really have the opportunity to look at a small screen. I usually have the screen off. But whatever the case, it's just a tip for all you future podcasters. Forget the screen. And I take my cues a lot from the Podfather, Adam Curry, and No Agenda. Those guys, they concentrate on sound. They have taken pictures of themselves in the past, maybe a shot of their studio, but for the most part, there's nothing to look at. It's a sound experience, and I really appreciate those guys for concentrating on that. So, unfortunately, the whole world from COVID thought it would be important to show your face, but hasn't changed my mind. So there you go. Anything else that stood out about this great show? That I put on FakoTube, by the way. It's on BitChute on Gemma's site and on Phil's BitChute channel. But I put it on FakoTube for your viewing pleasure. And a technical reminder, you can subscribe to the RSS feed of FakoTube, your favorite channel, which should be mine. And Podcast Addict will bring in the video automatically to your phone. Are you aware of that feature, Frank? Frank, are you there? I think Frank muted himself, or he fell off his chair. He's so excited about the show. And I can't hear Frank. And is there anybody in the chat? I haven't even seen one chat message today. Frank, are you there?
Okay, I'm back.
All right, what happened? Go ahead, Frank. Frank is gone. Frank is gone again. Let's say hi to the FakoTube chat. The phone lines are open, 810-666-1984, 902-400-1984. And I'm going to show you a video on FakoTube because I invited Glenn, last name, Glenn Daniel on. A man with two first names. Always interesting that people choose that. And he did a really good song called Wake Up. I don't know who highlighted it. Maybe Jim Rizzoli on his channel. He does a lot of highlighting of different videos. We're going to play this song later. It's really an all shots clot show, but I just thought I'd get Glenn on whenever he could come by. And he's never done a show before, so we're going to hope that he can make it in to the show. A good old Glenn should be coming by. Looks like Frank is back.
Cool, Joey.
Frank, you're back.
I'm back.
So you had a technical issue.
I did.
All right. Yeah, because I wasn't sure you were hearing any. What's the last thing I said that you remember?
We were talking about the content of the latest Gemma show.
All right. And I said that Glenn Daniel was going to come on. He did this song called Wake Up. So he'll be on hopefully in 13 minutes or so.
You owe your conspiracy theorist friend an apology.
Right.
I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Yeah. And you liked any other comments on the Lynn and Phil video?
Oh, I thought the whole discussion was perfect, really. I mean, I like the fact that Phil brought his view, that Lynn brought her view, and Gemma her view. They were all coming from three slightly different angles. I think...
Hold time, Phil, 8 seconds.
I thought that Phil's thesis that Caucasian people are being bred out is reasonable.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's you know, it's certainly fitting the facts.
And we have Greg on the line. Hello, Greg.
Hi, Tim. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
Well, how are you?
Yeah.
We're all good.
I've got a slight cough for some reason, but I'll have to give up smoking.
Yeah, I think so. Greg, what's new in Germania, Ontario? You come from the German area of Ontario, I think.
Yeah. Yep. I do.
Are you being bred out of your? Are you being bred out of your neighborhood?
Not here in Fullerton. This is just a small, not even a town, right here where my dad lives.
What's it called?
Just a crossroads. Fullerton. Fullerton. Yeah.
All right.
Like 20 minutes outside of Stratford.
Fullerton is a name that's used in Australia quite for some towns as well, by the way, just to let you know how closely related our two countries are.
Right. Well, I'm sure some guy named Fuller started a town. Isn't that how it works?
I doubt it. I think it'll be some. I think the person starting a town theory is a bit unlikely now.
Well, if there's any other fakeologists in Fullerton, Ontario, Greg would like to do a meetup, maybe.
There's like, I wonder how, maybe 50 people live here?
What are the chances? Huh?
Do the 50 people think you're a conspiracy theorist, Greg?
I don't think they know.
You don't even have enough people to have a Tim Hortons donut shop.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Not even a
chance. The closest one is in Mitchell, which is like, I don't know, 10 minutes away.
All right, we do. Greg, okay. I have to interrupt because did you hear that beeping noise?
Yes.
I didn't hear anything.
That means our special guest has arrived in the studio. Glenn, hello. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can. Can you hear me?
All right. Yes. Great. Yes, this is Tim, the fakeologist, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. It's my first time doing this, so if I screw it up, I'm sorry in advance.
Well, if you can lean into your mic like a good singer.
All right. Awesome. How's that? A little better?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
A little better. And we have Frank, the salt guy. He's from Geelong, Victoria, Australia.
Hey, Frank.
How are you?
I'm good, man.
And Frank is a bit of a singer. He stars in all the top karaoke clubs in the state of Victoria. I don't know if he's at your caliber.
It's more of an addiction than anything else.
I was getting into it more before COVID. And then after COVID, I kind of shut down for 3 years.
Yeah, oops, everyone did.
As you were supposed to.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but psychologically, I was just like, why do I want to sing out there right now? I was really getting into it. I was, you know, I'd got my first gig. I mean, I started really late. I'm a fake musician. I play guitar. I do covers every now and then. I write a song, and this one just kind of caught my attention. I'm like, I'm going to share it with Kurgan and see where it goes.
Yeah. Kurgan is a BitChute channel. I was not made aware of Kurgan ever. And I'm not even sure. I think it might have been picked up by a YouTube curation site. Sorry, a BitChute curator site named Jim Rizzoli. He posts many, many, many videos from other people's channels. Mm-hmm. And that may be how you came to my attention.
No.
Yeah.
No,
go ahead.
And that's really what the Fakeologist brand is all about. We talk about media fakery, of course, for the last 4 years. We've been talking about what we call COVIDs here.
Yeah.
And we often just find our favorite material that fits our paradigm and rebroadcast it, really.
Nice.
And I have my own video.
Glenn, you're wearing a T-shirt that says, "You owe your conspiracy theorist friend an apology."
Yeah.
Have you been getting any apologies from your no, friends?
Not a single one. That's why I wore
interesting.
It.
Interesting.
Yeah. No, nobody's going to apologize. Nobody even knows, really. It's in the neighborhood I'm in, I don't think anybody even realized what's going on.
And you look like you're in the woods in this video. So where are you located in the world?
That's my backyard.
Wow.
Oh, nice. So you live in the woods.
I live in the woods outside of Annapolis. And
hold on, Annapolis for all us worldwide people. Oh, that's Maryland.
That's Maryland. And we live in a preserved area and got lucky, moved in November of 2019.
Okay.
Just starting to get everything cleaned up, and then COVID hit.
And who's we? Have you got great grandchildren or
no, my girlfriend and I.
Okay.
So yeah,
So I reached out to you because I just thought, okay, this is a cool song, and I like to highlight good stuff. I put you on FakeoTube, which is my own video platform, censorship free for my stuff anyway. And it is user supported. So anyone who contributes to my website, most of it goes to the video platform because it is quite expensive to host videos.
Yeah.
Because of the bandwidth, but I'm fine with that. And we have some very generous people, including Greg on the line. Greg's on our phone line right now. He's a monthly donor as well. Greg, did you want to say hi to Glenn Daniel?
Hi, Glenn. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
Well,
I'm sorry.
Did you hear this song, Greg?
I think so. You played it on one of the audio streams, the audio chats?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Wake up! The tab here.
Was that you?
Yeah, I'm going to play it now. Let's see if I can play it. Hold on a sec. Sometimes the resources get screwed up on my computer. I don't know if it's going to cause an issue, but I might have to download it. Come on now. Oop, it's stuck in the middle. Okay, here it is. By the way, my wife hates these dancing nurses so much. These people make her quite ill.
But they're wearing masks to protect their identity.
Yeah.
Well, I tried to warn you, and you said you're on it, we'll see. And I said don't take it, but you had to break it with me. You said that you needed to travel somewhere. Employment required it too. You laughed and you gleamed, you were really quite mean. What turned out to be just the flu. And safe and effective, that was just consensus, you see. Myocarditis and encephalitis, not me. Trusted the science, jabs 1, 2, and 3. PCRs and a booster shot, too. You never once said, man, this doesn't make sense to those who read ancient Hebrew. Wake up, it's all in your head. You might wanna listen, or you could crank up, wake up. Oh, why can't you see this virus you run from that no one can see? Max Egan and Kurgan, Lucy and Jeff Berwick, that's three. Lucy's just left us, she was just the bestest puppy. There's Cowan and Kaufman and Doctors Bailey, four fine doctors, I'd recommend you. Turn off your TV and you'll see what I mean. God's sakes, quit watching the view. Wake up, wake up, it's all in your head. You might wanna listen or you could be dead. Wake up, wake up, oh why can't you see this virus you run from is conspiracy. Somewhere employment required it to. Laughed and you gleamed, you were really quite mean for what turned out to be just the flu. Wake up, it's all in your head. You might wanna listen, I don't wish you dead. Wake up, oh why can't you see virus you run from it no one can see. Wake up, it's all in your head. You might wanna listen, I don't wish you dead. Wake up, oh why can't you see this virus you run from is conspiracy. So wake up, it's all in your head. You might wanna listen, I don't wish you dead. Wake up, oh why can't you see this virus you run from is pure fantasy. I tried to warn you and you said you're on it, we'll see. I said don't take it, but you had to break it with me.
All right, bravo.
That's bravo. Hard to watch.
you're too self-conscious. I don't listen to my own show either.
Yeah, so, it's really weird.
I know, that's really good. It hit me, so I thought I got to get this guy on. He seems super awake.
No, that's awesome. I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you this is your inaugural podcast interview. So I just who knew? I didn't know who you were, and I thought, wow.
So, I'm just some guy from Annapolis, Maryland that just wrote a song and said, huh, this is cool. It actually,
Glenn, you'll have to produce a karaoke record of it.
Oh, is that right? I wouldn't know how to do that.
All you need to do is have the lyrics scroll by and take your voice track.
You've got the soundtrack separate from your vocal, have you?
I believe Todd does it. This happened about a month ago. I was on Kurgan's page, and I think it was Falk is his name. And he's like, we need a theme song for this because everybody has the same story. Everybody I've read, like I read a lot of the comments throughout, you know, the different pages, and they all have the same story. It's like, we tried to tell somebody and nobody would listen. And so when he yelled out, hey, we need a theme song, I was just like, I can do that. So I sat down Wednesday night. I got the first two verses in the chorus. And I was like, okay, and I let it rest. And then Saturday I picked up the third verse and then worked it all out. And then a week later, I've got a friend that can do these production things without any band or anything like that. It's just me and my guitar. And then he'll throw in the music in the background. And so that's what I did. That took about 2 weeks. And then I sent it off to Kurgan. And he's like, can you walk through your woods, you know, carrying your guitar? I'm like, really? I don't really want to do that. But okay, yeah.
Okay.
I'll give it a shot. it's like, wow, I'm back in the 80s again. But it's like, so we got it all knocked out in about a month. And then Kurgan posted it up Thursday night. And I have no idea what it's doing. I mean, I was shocked that you're like, hey, can you be on my podcast? I'm like, I didn't even know this site existed.
Well, you're free publicity for us, and we're happy to give you publicity.
I appreciate that.
And the Kurgan Report, I've never heard of that. Can you tell us a little bit about the Kurgan Report?
Yeah, he starts off with the VAERS. Like his main thing is reading VAERS reports. Because I don't know in your experience, but like I tried using that when I was first trying to warn people. So okay. Look, it's on the VAERS report. And then, well, that looks kind of Photoshopped. And it's just like, really? So anyway, he reads these reports off. But then he spices it up. He does like the Max Kurgan kind of walk and talk, only he does it in his truck.
Okay.
Which is pretty awesome. And those are pretty intriguing because he hits on subjects that everybody else is thinking of. And then you go into the comment section, and it's a really, really great comment section. I mean, everybody's pretty much on the same page. And we all just, you know, shoot off, you know, what we're thinking and how we're feeling. And I don't know, it's a good place to, it's pretty much the only place I hang out now. It's like before I kind of went into overload, and it's kind of like, whoa, you know, all this information coming in all at once. It's like, wow, I need to back off.
How did you find the Kurgan Report?
I was just, it was after everybody was getting kicked off of YouTube.
Uh-huh.
And so I headed over to BitChute. I mean, there was Odyssey, BitChute, and Rumble, I think.
Yeah.
And I picked BitChute for no reason. I just did. And just started listening to different things, built up a listen list, and found Kurgan. I think it was his voice. It was like, oh, this guy sounds pretty cool. And so I started listening to him, started commenting, and started getting into it with people. And next thing I know, Kurgan and I are friends. We're talking stuff. He's like, Jill and I went up to New York last November, and he's like, I'm thinking about selling t-shirts. How would we go about doing that? And so I looked and found a couple of people that showed how to do it, and he went off with it. So now he's doing all the t-shirts.
Let me know, because my fans are asking for t-shirts and hats too. And I didn't have any luck a few years ago, but now people are asking for it. So,
oh, it's apparently you go through not Spotify. There's some kind of Shopify or something like that.
Shopify, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this girl did a thing on YouTube on how to sell t-shirts and hats and everything. Basically, you come up with the ideas, you know, you do the graphics of it, send it into this company. They make it look like, you know, on a t-shirt, like they have these models that they just throw it up against. And then whenever somebody buys them, they make them up and send them off to the customer. I think you make about $9 a shirt for $20.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it sounds like a good deal. There's a lot of legwork, I think, to go through it. But I mean, he had it up in like a day or two.
Okay.
So it's not, I'm not a t-shirt seller. So like I said, I was happy being in the peanut gallery, you know, making comments, but this song came and here I am.
So Kurgan is completely concerned with COVID and the VAERS and all the effects of the vaccine, it looks like.
Yeah, that's pretty much what he posts up. Like I said, he has his little rants and stuff like that, which everybody seems to get off on.
I'm looking for one rant because all I see is...
If you see a truck dashboard.
Yeah, I haven't seen one yet.
That one might be the WTF.
Oh, okay. I just want to hear his voice and see what he's talking about. Okay, I see. So this is a rant that he... Okay, so he drives a pickup truck around. Okay. Is that his voice?
Yeah, it's a Sam Elliott voice. It's pretty cool.
Oh, I thought it was Wolfman Jack.
I'm sure he'll like that.
Frank, did you hear that voice?
Yeah, he's got up in his dash. I was just thinking about the, you know, when you're discussing the COVID scam with these idiots that believe in it, it's almost like we need to reverse it, because you're usually stating your case as to why it's fake.
Okay, so that's his voice. Okay, I'm not sure. Yeah. I can. That's a tough one to listen to, but okay.
No, it's really not.
Except it's really that I like where he's coming. I assume he was about to say, rather than you trying to convince people it doesn't exist, just say you don't believe it and get them to convince you that it does. Is that where he was going?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah. When we cut off there, it seemed he was about to say.
Yeah, we're pretty much in Kurgan land. We're team no virus for the most part. And he has a sister who took the shots.
Okay.
So sometimes he reflects on that, and sometimes he just about drivers, like poles apparently are falling down a lot, or getting run into.
Wow.
It's all kinds of stuff. So he does that, but for the most part, I think he sticks with the VAERS report and, you know, points out the different ailments that are happening from vaccine damage.
Is he in Maryland too?
No, he's down south. I'm not going to give his location because that's not up to me.
No, okay, he's in the south. Okay, because one of my ideas was different areas got different variations. I think
no. What I'm understanding is everybody is under the same psychosis as far as this goes. You know, it's every. I watched some of his stuff and listened to some of what he says, and it's exactly what's going on in my life right now.
Okay.
No, but that's different. We're talking about the jabs. What Tim is saying is that he thinks the different jabs, there were different doses, different experiments being conducted. That's why not everybody's getting the same effect.
Could be. I mean, who knows? Yeah.
You know, some of them were saline. Some of them had a little bit. Some had a lot.
But they're having similar symptoms, if that's what you want to call it. Same, you start seeing a pattern of myocarditis. This is a big one right now, but it's like, there's other like brain thrombosis and he kind of ties that together. Like, yeah, we've seen this before and this is happening. So it's kind of a heads up. Like if you see somebody walking down the street and they start tweaking out, you start to recognize it. It's like, oh, that was in the VAERS report. I've heard this has happened before.
Yeah.
But again, you go to your normie friends and say something like that, they're not going to believe it. So that I think that's his main purpose, is to get that out to recognize, you know, this is what the shot's doing to you. It's screwing people up in different ways. And these are the ways it's doing it, right from the government VAERS report.
Yes. Well, I understand how the VAERS report works, and I understand it's about 1% reporting. It's voluntary, and most doctors are not going to spend an hour navigating the submission process. They don't get paid for it. So it's going to be very difficult to gather a really accurate and comprehensive report of the whole United States, because it is for the United States.
Right, right.
It's administered by allegedly by the CDC. I'm kind of nervous that the CDC has anything to do with the database, because obviously they're part of the whole military industrial complex.
Oh yeah.
That has unleashed the bioweapon on people. So,
well, they're also, from what I've read, they're part private corporation. They're not even part of the federal government. So, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. But they get money from the money printers, money changers. Yeah. So we're a pretty advanced group of people at Fakeologists. We're looking into 9/11 and media fakery, and then COVIDs came along and took over our world like everyone else's. So we're feasting on it as the big psychological operation that it is. And I and Frank is in Australia. I'm in Canada.
Oh, really? I was born in Canada.
Oh, whereabouts?
It's Scarborough.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. I'm right beside Scarberia.
Oh, yeah. See, all my relatives are still up there, and they don't talk to me at all.
Hold on. Can you narrow it down to a neighborhood in Scarborough?
I don't know. It's been 2013 is the last time I went up there. So,
I'm just curious. I know Scarborough like the back of my hand. So,
If you're familiar with the Webster name,
mm-hmm.
That was my
no. I'm just wondering what area of Scarborough.
Where I was. I think it's been plowed over. I mean, I have pictures of me as a kid in front of this brick house, and I've heard it's been plowed over. And
because there's no Webster area of Scarborough, so that's why I'm asking if you could name it.
I've got relative all around the Ontario area, and
I
tried warning them and saying, "Hey," and they're like, "No, Glenn's gone crazy."
Ah, okay, yeah. You got the crazy diagnosis from
actually a cousin that's down here. He keeps in touch with them a lot, and they're pretty much thinking you're crazy right now. This is right at the beginning, and it was like,
and what do they think now?
I don't know. I haven't talked to him.
So you disconnected because of COVID, you figure?
I would say we disconnected because, I mean, they've got my number. So I tried shouting out. And I think, and I read a lot on this, a lot of people are just like, you know, you part ways. It's even though you're family, but it's like, I tried. If you want to come back and say, hey, maybe I was wrong, we can work something out. But it's like, I don't, you know, I don't take kindly to being called crazy for trying to.
No. Did you send them the song?
No. My sister, my sister.
That might be a way to repair things.
I mean, I look at it too. It could be offensive to those who didn't listen. Yeah, it could be a little bit. My sister even says, you're not going to send it to Canada, are you? I'm like, no, no. I'm not going to, I haven't shared it with anybody that has like in my neighborhood or anything like that. Nobody knows. It's just, put it out there on the web.
Well, now it's on FakoTube, for goodness sake. This thing's going to go nuts.
Do you think? See, I'm not sure. I'm totally oblivious to what's going on. I'm just like playing with my fox and my squirrels in the backyard. And it's
we're narrow casters for sure, but I'm taking advantage of what the internet has to offer. Mm-hmm. So what I tell all my listeners is if you want to donate to the site, your time, your talent, your treasure, if you can't do any of that, use your time to disseminate my website address, because no one is going to find out about it unless it's word of mouth, unless you tell someone, unless you post a link. And hopefully, I've had videos that I put on FakoTube here, which is my video platform, and someone has embedded it on a very large site. And then I get lots of views, and then people come to FakoTube and try and figure out what it's all about. So I've tried to make it really easy. If someone's put a link on a big website, once they get over here, then they go down the Fakeologist set of websites that are all listed up at the top here, you see.
How big is the site?
I would say it's small. I'm not going to exaggerate.
Is it a Canadian thing?
12 years. Well, it's I'm Canadian, but the site is not in Canada. I don't know if that makes any difference to the world.
Yeah.
The world governing complex that may not like it, but no, we're... The FakoTube, the video platform, I have it mirrored in 5 countries just for streamability. But we're a small site. We get reasonable traffic, but these communities tend to stay closed in the sense that once someone gets here, and it's usually completely accidental, it's almost like a club. They kind of keep it a secret, which is not what we want. But
no, not with any.
That's just
of them.
How people are.
I mean, it could be worse. Like you tell somebody, "Oh, you can find this information on BitChute." They're like, "Oh, no, I'm not going to BitChute."
And oh, really?
Like, yeah. They it's a conspiracy site.
Oh, okay. I've never heard that reputation.
I've never heard that. No. Mm.
I hear it a lot. Like people I've come in contact with, I'm like, no, you can find this information on BitChute. And they're like, BitChute? For they don't know what it is. But if they do, it's the right-wing conspiracy channel. And apparently there's a lot of bots and stuff like that on it. But like I said, I basically hang out on one site. You know, I'll look at other people's posts. But as far as commenting goes, I keep it to the Kurgan Report.
So you're on one channel. We call this a channel. Like on YouTube. So you're an example of what I'm saying. You don't wander off the reservation that you found.
No, what happened was I did wander off the reservation, and I really, I mean, spent a lot of time, unnecessary time, looking through this and looking through that, where it was like the information was just getting redundant. And I was like, I need to break away from this because this isn't good for my psychology. And so I need to go outside, take off my boots, stand on the grass, hang out with the animals and breathe the fresh air. You know, sitting in front of the computer going, oh, wow, that's wow. Oh, wow. Oh, shit. You know, it's not healthy.
No, I agree.
So it's like I cut back. I mean, I even stepped off for a couple weeks. I was like, I just need to get away from this for a little bit, especially during COVID, because there was so much information coming out.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just like, it was a total learning experience. It's like, you know, that's, I remember when it first happened, it's like, first thing I did was went to the CDC. It's like, well, what is, you know, coronavirus? It's like the equivalent of a flu or a cold. I was like, well, what's everybody so freaked out about? And then after we got put into lockdowns, I'm like, you know, total dive into information, finding out everything. And something didn't make sense. I was like, what the hell's going on? And so I went and lied down on the couch, and Jill came out with her cell phone and had this podcast on it, and it was Pro 777. And I was like, never heard of them. So scrolled through, and there was this one. I was like, all right, let me listen to this one. And it was Andy Kaufman. And he was saying, there's no virus. I was like, aha, that's what I'm missing. So I dug into that, and sure enough, there's no virus or no provable virus.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, like I said, it was almost 2 years of drinking and looking for information and trying to get it out. And I just burned out, man. I was just like, I got to get away from this computer. So I'm.
Now, Glenn, I have to tell you that I shared your drinking experience.
I think a lot.
For 2 years, I think I was drinking a bottle of wine a day.
Oh, yeah. At least. At least. I mean, it's, I love
pretty full
wine.
On, isn't it?
Yeah. It's, you know, I'd get up at 10, have breakfast, do this. And about 3 o'clock, it's like I'm pouring a glass of wine.
Oh, well, you were much later than me. You were much more controlled.
Yeah, I had.
What time did you start, Frank? I'm concerned.
At lunchtime, no problem. I'd go and get to lunch as soon as possible, and you know, have wine with my lunch.
No, did you do?
Sorry, go Frank. Ahead. Did you do any audio chats when you were drinking? Just, I want to go back to them and listen now.
Well, most of the audio chats I've done with you would be in the morning or my morning.
Yeah,
or in my Saturday evening.
Okay, I meant on the wine though. You were on the wine. Any of those?
I'd be surprised.
Oh, okay. Too bad. Sorry, Glenn. We do these things called audio chats. It's another part of the platform. Uh-huh. That's an informal conference call that we record and broadcast live to the world. Usually Saturdays and Sundays.
All right.
So. You're certainly welcome to join our Discord at shortfake.com/Discord. If you just want to chat to like-minded people, conspiracy people, the conversations can go absolutely anywhere. So that's another community. See, we treat this site as therapy.
Yeah.
Where you don't have to explain any of your ideas to any of us, because we're very tolerant of all kinds of outside the box thinking. Is that?
No, I think that's a bit unfair. We do expect people to explain themselves. We expect people to be a bit logical.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
Well, I do. I mean, but you know, provided you've got some logic to your ideas, you'll listen to. But just random ranting, I don't think is. I think that'll get a pretty poor reaction myself.
Yeah, I agree.
Glenn, while we're just going back to the alcohol thing, one of the outcomes for me is that I no longer have alcohol in my house anymore.
Oh, no, I still do. I'm aware of it now. So it's like I'll have a glass.
Yeah, so I have just stopped bringing alcohol in my house at all.
And so you don't drink at all?
I drink, yeah. I would describe myself as a heavy drinker, but I do not drink in the house.
Oh, what fun is that?
Well, I've got the other view. We're going to drink alone. I'm not interested in that.
So you go to clubs and drink is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah. I have no desire to go out to clubs or anything. I mean, I'm 61 years old. I've had my time. Yeah. I don't really have a club or a pub or anything like that I'm, you know, gonna go, I'm going to go drink there. It's like, no, I'll have a glass of wine, play guitar, or a glass of wine and scroll through the internet and, or just kick back and do nothing. Or like I said, I spend a lot of time.
Well, I guess I've started doing open mic nights and I do a few country and Western shows. And
well, Frank, I think you should sing Glenn's song and record it.
As soon as I get the karaoke version, I'm going to take it everywhere I go.
All right. I think it's a good sing-along, actually.
I do, too.
Absolutely.
Great tune. It's got that rollicking.
Yeah, I want it. Thing, yeah. Again, I only played with it for like a week. I didn't even like pull it out as far as I could. It was like, oh, this is pretty good. I got to get this recorded. And then as soon as I set up the recording time, I was like, oh, maybe I should give myself another week and still work out the, you know.
But you know, you're completely pathetic compared to the Beatles. They were able to write all the songs, record, get the records out for, Rubber Soul in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What's going on with you? You're retarded.
And you know, the Beatles are my thing. I am Beatles, Eagles, and Oasis. Those, if you were to describe the music that I like, that would be it.
I'm just a bit cynical about the Beatles.
So. Oh, I know. I've seen a couple of those. I can't think of his name, but he does the whole Beatle demystifying and all that.
Williams.
Yeah, and it's like, you know,
Mike Williams.
As a Beatles fan, it's like, oh, that's sad, but I still listen to it because, you know, I still like the music.
Of course, it's the world's, you know, they had the world's best people writing it.
Yeah, well, that's what I've heard. So
it's going to be awesome. I mean,
what's sad though is watching Sir Paul on TV, and it's just like, and knowing this, and going, oh, yeah. Shit.
You think it's Paul and not Paul?
I don't. I've fallen into a mentality where if I don't know, I'll tell you I don't know, I don't know. I'm not going to say I believe. Yeah, well, it started with the flat Earth.
welcome to my world.
Yeah,
that's Frank's specialty. Don't get him started.
Oh, see the flat. Well, are you flat or round?
Now, what I say is this: I don't believe any. Well, sorry, I'm both because the idea is neither. That it is flat and round.
Yeah,
it's not a ball. That's all. But I'm actually an engineer, Glenn, and all my working life, I've made my living by assuming that water lies flat and level. If I dig a drain or do a mine plan, you know, there's no. I never take any account of any curve. No engineer
curve in Frank's world.
Yeah.
Oh, well, see, I've watched a lot of arguments, and the conclusion I came to was, if you ask the flat Earth if it's round, they'll say no. And if you ask the round Earth if it's flat, they'll say no. So the conclusion is they're both wrong.
You're right.
My thing is simply this. Nobody of any description makes any different assumption than me. Everybody, including you, assumes the Earth doesn't move and it's flat for any practical purpose. You know, if you do a survey or dig a drain, or if you fly a plane, you don't say, oh, shit, while I'm up in the air between New York and Los Angeles, I've got to account for the Earth spinning twice as fast as the plane's moving. No one ever does that.
No, see, I get all that. But it's like, what if it's a dichotomy? It's us against them. It's round against flat. It's Republican against Democrat. It's the same.
Oh, that 100%. That's wild. As
I call it a dialectic.
Yeah,
and as yeah, Tim says, and so it's like, so what if there's a third option that's what's really being held from us?
Yeah, that's a good thought.
And I'll leave it there. If you guys have me on again, I'll explain it because I haven't figured it out at all yet. It's just one of those.
Well, I don't think you're any different to anyone at this. Well, sorry, certainly not to me. Yeah, I think we have is what we know. Everything else is.
Well, everything is pretty much in our mind. Everything has to pass through our mind. Yeah. So I look at it like, what if this is a canvas that we're observing, right? Like a painting. And we're the painter, but we can also put ourselves in the painting. And every other living creature around us is projecting the same thing. And that's what makes up our reality.
Oh, that's heavy.
It's a what if. And it's like, and that's what I toy with. And it's like, so what if it's not round or flat? Or what if it can be whatever we want it to be? Or what if it doesn't really fucking matter? I mean, think about it. If you were a flat earther and all of a sudden the earth is round, would it change your reality at all?
It made a big difference to me. Yeah.
Well, but I mean, your everyday life, does it change anything?
Yeah, no, it made a huge difference to my everyday life. Yeah. Because I moved from a guy who was into science, whereas now I think we live in a spiritual world. I think the world is as described in the Bible. And it was largely the flat earth thing that drove me there. It turns out that the earth is not as described in the Bible, then I'm going to be in for an existential crisis.
Well, see, here I go again. The Bible is a belief. You have to believe in the writings of this book. And I'm going to lose a lot of people here.
But no. Like, I don't agree that you have to believe anything.
That's the thing.
The Bible just presents a model, and the model it presents is of the world in a particular way, with a roof over its head, and you know, it's just a description of how the world works. And my view is that I've been unable to disprove that model. That's all. And yet, if I pray, my life is better.
Yeah, you're not,
and that's good.
You won't lose me, Glenn. I'm not really. This isn't really. Bible website, but Frank is our Bible guest that we have routinely and regularly on Thursday. He's the only one that really gets into it. But we tolerate and allow just about all talk, as long as it can always come back to fakeology and the idea of media fakery, where the globalists, the banksters, the people that run the world,
right,
use the media and give us fake events all day long to keep us spinning.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that's all I insist on the Fakeologist Network, that you bring it back to fakery, media fakery, that almost everything you are watching or viewing is fake in some way or t'other, and you got to figure it out, and that's how we do it. So
that's what I was talking about before, about the, you know, it's different to having just an opinion or a belief.
Right.
You know, if I'm going to stand up and say, you know, I think the Bible's accurate, I've got to then be prepared to put forward some logic to what I'm saying. You know, we're not here just accepting.
No, and I'm the guy that you want to have a talk with over a glass of wine with, that because
that'd be great. I need to come over to Maryland for sure.
You ought to. Definitely welcome here. I'll show you around the woods.
Our Discord administrator, he is in Maryland as well. I believe he's somewhere near DC. Well, okay. I guess most of Maryland is around DC somewhere. Yeah,
pretty much.
I don't have his exact coordinates, because even if I did know, I probably wouldn't want to broadcast it. But he just says he's in the DC area, so I don't know DC. We have another very good fakeologist who's in Baltimore. That's the Lynn Hertel show, which is Tuesdays, and she's another really great fakeologist. She does a lot of contributing here. And maybe there should be a Maryland meetup.
There should. I've been trying to get Kurgan to have a Kurgan Palooza here, get all the musicians together, and just have a little outside jam.
Yeah.
So, Glenn, when did you quote unquote wake up? I still think it's an overused term, but I still
overall
we all know what it means.
You saying overall, like,
yeah,
when in my lifetime?
Yeah, but you're an artist. I always think artists are particularly awake at an early age.
Probably just a little before 9/11.
Okay.
I was going to school in NAU, Northern Arizona University.
Okay.
And I started Arkansas. It's a long story. Anyway, I found these books that Everything You Know About Anything Is a Lie.
Whoa.
And there were like four volumes. So I started reading those, and it was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And then
who wrote that one? I got to look that up. Everything You Know About Everything.
Yeah. Everything You Know Is a Lie is basically, hold on, let me get the book.
Everything You Know About Everything Is a Lie, a 4-part series. Okay. I can't see the name. I'm just searching now on presearch.com. You ever heard of it, Frank?
I don't even know. The publisher is Russ Kick.
As in kick your dog?
Yeah, R-U-S-S-K-I-C-K. And the book I'm holding now, Everything You Know About God Is Wrong. So that was the fourth one.
So Frank, you better read that one first.
Yeah, you might be
able to. Yeah, well, certainly I would agree with that.
So, yeah. But so anyway, that was kind of the wake up. And then the elections, the hanging Chad, that was another wake up moment. And then 9/11 hit, and I didn't really catch on because I was heavy in my studies and not really paying attention, you know, other than the TV. And then
it was. So what did you study, Glenn?
Sociology.
Okay.
So when I graduated, I went to grad school and only made it a year. Went through divorce and my mom was sick, so left the wife, went and take care of my mom. So, but anyway, it was about 2004. I saw the, or 2005, Loose Change.
Yes.
And that changed everything. That was like, wait, nothing's real. So when COVID hit, it was like, yeah, this isn't real. This is a narrative. And another, there it is. Everything You Know Is Wrong.
Yeah. And he's got, I'm going to read this one to my wife maybe later on. Everything You Know About Sex Is Wrong.
Yeah.
So that's, he's got Everything You Know About God Is Wrong. Everything You Know About Sex Is Wrong. Everything You Know Is Wrong.
Yeah.
Disinformation Guide to Secret and Lies. And there's this one down here. Yeah, I think it's three in that series.
Yeah.
And then he has many other books. And sadly, Russ Kick is no longer with us. I hope he didn't die of COVID.
Yeah, who knows? It looks like it, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. Anyone that dies within, in 2021, you have to worry about.
Yeah, well, he was just the publisher. It's basically short stories and articles. There was another book.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he was editor-at-large of the Disinformation Company. Interesting.
Yeah. So that's how we found information before the internet. It's like we had to go to old bookstores and find these books just lying around.
And he organized DisinfoCon. Oh, wow. In 2000. Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that's when I started waking up. And like I said, after 9/11, after the election and all that, it's just like, yeah, hold on.
I gotta get a PDF for this. Anyone has a PDF, send it to me. I'll read this. Dingo Baby says, the Disinfo Company has a great research doc. Anyone have a link? And he wrote for the Village Voice.
Anyone like a link?
Oh, anyone like a link? Yes, of course we would like a link.
Dingo Baby also said that as scientists, we don't assume flatness, actually. We simplify the system being flat. Take out consideration of curvature. Dingo, I think you need to think about your language. Obviously, we simplify means I've made the assumption the Earth is flat.
Okay. All right. So, Glenn, you are awake. So how much 9/11 research did you do? And what did you do, if anything?
I didn't do anything about it. I'm a warehouse manager, so.
No, what did you conclude about it?
About 9/11?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Total psyop.
Okay.
See, I was also military. I was Air Force for 8 years. And then after I got out of the Air Force, I put myself through college. But during my first 2 years of college, the Army called me up, the Army recruiter. And I was like 38 years old. And, they're like, how would you like to come hang out with us? I'm like, dude, I'm 38. They're like, we don't care. Come on down. So I went to the ASVAB, aced it, and they put me in psychological operations.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I think you're going to be a regular guest here, Glenn.
So
you're fully qualified.
and that interesting group of guys, that one. That's.
Oh, please tell us something about that. Anything.
It's just, they're just regular guys that are taught to hearts and minds. You know, hearts and minds.
Hearts and minds, yes.
So it's basically you've got your target audience and you influence them however way you can.
A lot of it's literature.
Are you given specific scripts to influence people about?
Yeah. During training, we actually had to come up with scripts and stuff, and leaflets and flyers. And now I think a lot of it's electronic. That was 98.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure they've well advanced.
Did they tell you what the agenda was, or did they say, we want you to influence people to think this? Or we
it depends. It depends who the target was, because you have to do research, the background on the culture, because you obviously can't go into a Muslim country and say, you know, Christian God says you guys need to change your ways. They're going to say, fuck off. Yeah, that's not going to work.
Did you see the I think it was a recruitment video for PsyOps?
I've never seen that.
Oh my God, it was over the top. It's it might be this one here. Take a look at this. I think this is it. This is an.
It has as its target not the body, but the mind of the enemy.
This is on FacoTube.
The target of psychological warfare is against the enemy's mind. It is words and ideas.
Ammunition used by Cywar.
Its mission is to influence the thoughts of the enemy soldier, and at the same time
is expected and encouraged to study foreign languages and the social sciences such as history, economics, and sociology. He must have a broad and sympathetic understanding of all phases of human experience.
Gripping at my skin, the walls of night close in.
But the use of this force as an integral part of combat has now taken on new form.
I thought I think that I might have got the wrong video, but I think yeah, wow. That was an ad for PsyOps. I may have got that wrong, but man, was that powerful or what?
Yeah, well, I mean, advertisement is PsyOp, if you think about it.
Of course.
I mean, they repeat the same commercial over and over and over for weeks and weeks, and you're just like, God, just play another commercial. And then they give you another commercial, and it's over and over and over, and then they cut it down and they show the parts that they think, you know, influence the best, and that's what it is.
But did you understand 9/11 to be a fully blown psyop the minute it happened?
No.
Oh, okay.
Like I said, I was in school. I was, you know, I'd been out of the Army for a year, was into my sociology, learning about people, which helps a lot. I mean, when you understand how people operate, function, that helped a lot. But like I said, 9/11 hit, and it was just, there was so much going on in my life. I was just like, watched it on TV for a day. And I remember at NAU, there was some kid running through the commons area going, it's all a lie, it's all a lie. And I'm like, what's that all about? I had no idea. Like I said, it wasn't until I moved back to Maryland and started hanging out on the internet. It was just like, oh, hold on here. Yeah, Max Egan wasn't until 2008, but I think it was, Corbett Report.
Corbett Report.
I think he was still with that Canadian news agency. Not Information Clearinghouse. It's,
I don't know his history too well. I can't help you there.
Yeah. So, but, Canada's got, it's run by something Kadowski or something. And okay. I can't think of the name of it right now. I don't have my phone with
That's
me.
Okay.
So, but yeah, PsyOp was a trip, and it was really, we went to Germany 1 year for 2 week, but it turned into a month. And it's really interesting just being associated with PsyOp. All the other soldiers gave you a certain privilege, a heightened respect. It was just like, oh, it's like, oh, you're PSYOP. It's like, yeah, it's like, oh, no, it's good. You're here. What do you need? It's like, wow, I like this.
Wasn't it called measles for a while? And then they turned it back to PSYOPs?
I have no idea. I haven't studied the history of it. I just
okay.
found myself in the middle of it one day.
Wow.
Fantastic.
That's amazing. Yeah, we're definitely going to have you back just to talk about that, because that's pretty damn cruel, pretty damn cool. Well, maybe this is it. Let me just play this recruitment video. It's, okay, here it is. It's called Ghosts in the Meme. Take a look at this. Oh, wait, maybe this isn't it here. What the hell? Why is this? Okay, she broke it down. Wait, okay, hold on a sec. This woman broke down the latest PSYOPs video. Oh, it's called Ghosts in the Machine. That's what it was. I just want to play it. I might have already played it now. Now that I think about it, I think we just watched it, but I'm not positive. But anyway, so what was your final conclusion, if any, on 9/11?
Oh, it was a total inside job. It was the first part. Maybe there was something before it, but to this, I mean, it's all leading to the. I mean, what did 9/11 bring us? More surveillance camera, more surveillance. It brought us
the war on terror, the war on terror. Really.
But yeah. Instead of, you know, looking out for terrorists, the cameras were turned on us.
Right.
Because now we could be the terror. And that shows the hand. That's their, that's what it was for. And now COVID is to get us into this medical kind of coercion. So yeah, it's, and then what's next? The money? I don't know. It's kind of interesting just kicking back and watching and writing songs about it.
And what's your view as to what it's all about?
I have no idea. I mean, do any of us? I could watch a video and go, oh, it's about that. I could watch another. Maybe it's about that. Oh shit, I don't know what it's about. I don't know. It's just
Do you think we have an enemy?
Does the United States have an enemy?
I think right now we're our own enemy. Mm-hmm. And but like, are you saying like the masterminds behind it follow the money?
Well, I'm just asking if you know who is conducting the 9/11.
No, I know the same faces you know, Klaus Schwab. Bill Gates, Joe Biden, Donald Trump. I know the same faces you do. Are they running the show? I doubt it. But that's all we know. Bilderbergs, Rothschilds, whatever. Never met them. Never seen them. Don't know if they really exist. I don't know.
And well, the latest
what's their purpose? Soros. What are they trying to achieve? Are they just...
Mm-hmm. Right now, it looks a bit like a democide.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I'll go with Frank analyzes the state of Victoria's excess deaths statistics.
Mm-hmm.
Frank is one of the only ones that is graphing some of the raw data in a way that has not been displayed by his government. And he is definitely showing excess deaths are on the increase.
Mm-hmm.
And they peaked during the vaccine season, the season of vaccination.
Mm hmm.
So Frank would agree with you, I think, Frank. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would, yeah.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you just watch, like, during research, it's like, I'll look at MSN, listen to NPR, dig into the, you know, the places we're not supposed to go, and then compare notes. And it's, I mean, just looking at MSN, I remember when this first started, I'm watching, it's like, you know, what was it, one death every couple weeks, somebody would die. And now, and then I remember like 2000 or 2020, 2021, it went up to about one or two every couple of weeks. Then after the shots rolled out, it was two a day. And then it jumped up to like three a day and then four a day. And then it was always cause unknown. Always the same thing. They wouldn't put on like, oh, maybe it's from the shot or maybe we don't know why they're dying, but it's unexpectedly
it's unknown causes. That was the that at least in the jurisdiction in the province of Alberta in Canada, that was, and maybe still is, the leading cause of death. Unknown mm-hmm. causes.
Yeah.
I mean, who accepts this as acceptable? Nobody should.
Everybody does, though.
But it is, in fact, I think a significant problem for the people who've taken the shots. They are simply psychologically incapable now of acknowledging that they've made a mistake, I think.
For now. I think there's some that are waking up, but I think you're right. I think it's one of those, no, I didn't mess up. No, I'm good. But, and you know, they never.
Because the thought of it is too awful, I think.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's.
You're a psych specialist. I'm sure you'll have been.
Well, I'm just.
People just don't want to face the stuff that is really too painful.
Most people just go along to get along. I mean, that's human nature, I think. It's, you know, nobody wants to really cause weight. So it's like, you know, when their government says, boo, oh, there's a virus now. I mean, I believe there was a virus before 2020.
Well, we've just had 300,000 chickens slaughtered deer in my local area. See, that's fucked up. That's because of bird flu.
That is wrong. That's where people need, you're destroying your own food. Number two, there's no virus. So what do they have?
That's right. It's completely bollocks.
Yeah.
And it's just being used in a different way here now.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting.
The bird flu thing.
I'm waiting for mad cow disease to spread through the chicken population.
I think because of the vaccine, you're going to see mad cow spread through the human population.
Well, I think mad cow is just simply vaccine poisoning of cattle.
Yeah.
Cattle.
It's a neurological. Yeah.
Right.
Or straight out poisoning just through the herbicides and so on, which I think is what happened in the UK.
No, they actually vaccinate most livestock now. So
yeah, I've read that too.
You know, you vaccinate your dog for rabies.
No, I do not.
Well, no, I meant in general. That's extremely.
Well, here's what happens when you show that there's no such thing as a virus. Rabies disappears.
That's right.
You know, you feed your dog Drano, he will foam at the mouth.
Absolutely.
So it's poisoning. Somebody put poison in the water that these wild animals drink out of. Yes. When they can't get it out of their system, they foam at the mouth because that's part of the
expression.
Detoxication.
Detoxification. You're absolutely right. Yeah, I agree.
They drop the baits to kill them all.
No, that's what they want to do. But again, it comes back to your question, who? I don't know. I mean, really, if every district, I guess, or every city would go to their city council and say, you can't do this. And if they say, well, we have to do this, but you're out of office. And, you know, you keep hearing this stuff. It's like, oh, I don't want to be violent. I don't want violence. It might take that. Yeah. It's like if somebody were to come in and say, I'm going to shoot your dog. It's like, I'm going to cut off your head. So it's your call. And that's what we need to do. It's like, oh, we're going to kill your chat. I'm going to do the same to you.
Mm. Well, most people will bring their chickens forward to get slaughtered because they think there's a problem.
See, that's messed up. I mean, think of it. Think of how they, we got bird flu from a cow.
Yeah.
And now we have it. It's obvious. Really? You got a virus from a bird, shit on a cow's head, so he got the virus, and then I ate a steak, so now I've got the virus.
Well, what happened here is that the Victorian health minister or their representative said, oh, there's practically no chance that a human's going to catch bird flu from a chicken, but we're going to kill all the chickens. Yeah. Now, where's the logic there?
Well, somebody should say, what are you testing them with?
But apart from anything else, even before you even move, they've told you there's no threat, but we're still going to kill the chickens.
Yeah.
You know, what?
And that's when the chicken owners, well, and like you said, they come forward with them. But like I said, you're going to mess with me. I thought the same thing when they were talking, they're going to come to your house to house to give you injections. It's like, I will cut your hand off.
And very interesting that, just before that had happened, there were laws introduced in Victoria that assaulting a health worker was, you know, that was the ultimate.
Of course it was. But I've got a plan. It's like if they ever start saying we're going to come house to house, you put up a free message and say, here's the deal. We don't hate you guys at the front line that are coming to our houses, but we're going to mess you up. Okay, because the people making the rules, they're not going to come. Joe Biden's not going to come to your house and give you an injection. He's not going to come to your house and chop up your chicken. But it's going to be people like you and me. You know, just we need a job. I got to work. I need money. I got to put food on my table. And just plain and simple, it's like, you come to my house, you're going to get hurt. And you can bring all the cops you want. I'll wait. You stick me with that needle. I have a memory.
I'll pay you back.
Yeah, I have a memory. I've got until this thing kills me. And if I find that I'm starting to keel, I'm coming after you.
Yeah.
And if I can't get to you, I'll come for a loved one. I mean, it's one, because they're doing it to us. Point blank. They're doing
it. Well, I agree with you on this particular thing. This whole idea, oh, it's just my job. That's not how it works.
And I agree. I understand.
You are the person that took the decision to do this. You're the person responsible. It's a bit like I've had this discussion about our armed forces heading off to Iran and Iraq after the 9/11 thing. To me, it's a similar situation.
Yeah.
Even if the story, official story, is true, there was no legal justification for those things to occur. And yet soldiers, and that's so, I understand many of the soldiers had to sign another agreement saying that, you know, it was all their responsibility, what they did in those countries. But really, anybody that's gone over to those countries, even though they were soldiers, etc., it's still up to them to not do illegal things. And all of the Western countries behaved illegally.
I agree. But have you been in the military?
No.
Yeah, it's a totally different story. It's you are controlled mentally. But I mean, from basic training, tech school, and then all the different trainings and all that, it's like that's your team. And that's
right.
You know, and that's a hard thing. And, you know, there were people that during COVID that said, no, I'm not doing it. And they lost their jobs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Some got court-martialed. So Uncle Sam will come down hard on you. And you know that. So it's not a catch 22, but it's kind of like, I think what it comes to is we got to start, these people that are going into the military, our kids, start saying, hey, this is real life.
Don't go into the military. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would.
And that's really where it comes from. All of us at some point have to think about our actions and stop blaming other people.
Yeah. True. But again, when they come after you with medication and put the pressure on, that was, I mean, you know, we said no. I don't understand why other people couldn't say no. Why? And I do understand.
Well, people wanted to do it. People wanted it.
And those are the people that probably were watching a lot of television as well.
Well, they didn't see anything wrong with it because they didn't see anything wrong with it when they vaccinated their children. Because one of the things about that is children can't explain what happened to them up until a certain age, and then the vaccines usually subside. And then
I remember getting vaccinated. Well, I got vaccinated before I went into the military.
Yes.
And how did that work out? I didn't feel anything. I mean, actually, I'd gotten blisters on my heels from marching. And so I missed the initial vaccine day. So the last day of basic training, I had to run up and get my shot. They gave them all to me at one time.
Wow.
And so I'm walking back to the barracks, you know, a little lightheaded, kind of like, wow, all right. But other than that, I'm perfectly healthy 61-year-old.
Right.
So, but I'm just saying, we were enculturated that vaccines weren't bad. I mean, growing up, you know, we'd get the measles shot or whatever it was. I remember fifth grade or sixth grade, kids outside the school crying because they had to get a shot. I think I actually walked home. I was like, I don't want any part of this. But I remember getting shots. I remember getting a tetanus shot. But they weren't these mRNA, whatever they are. You know, these...
Well, that even that could just be fake, couldn't it, Glenn? You know, is there any RNA, DNA? Is all that just nonsense? We just said
exactly. Yeah, it's I ask everybody.
It's just one lot of snake poison or another lot of snake poison.
Yeah, you want to ask somebody what a protein is. What exactly is a protein?
Yeah.
You know, it's nobody can tell. It's, well, it's, you know, it's nucleic acid. How so? Nucleic acid is a nucleic acid. What is a protein?
It's a sequence of amino acids, is what we're told, and they're all assigned different letters, and it's the combinations of them, and that is what they're identifying as virus strains. And
Last I checked,
there's going to be 300,000 different sequences of those amino acid strands that can be defined as viruses. So that's why this is an unlimited, infinite business model, as you can imagine.
I put it to a doctor once. He was like, you know, you have blood cells. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, how do you know? You take the blood out of your body, you put it on a plate, and it's like putting up his glass on, and it divides up. And I asked him, like, well, how do you know there's cells inside your body? You know, it's when it's in, like, there's no way of knowing what your blood looks like. It could be a plasma altogether. It's like the example I use, like, you go to a river and you've got this river flowing with water. You scoop out some water, excuse me, you throw it up in the air, it turns into little droplets and falls to the ground. Some of it rolls back into the ocean, forms back in with the water. Those droplets are like blood cells. They're water droplets, blood cells. Inside the river, what do you got? And same with molecules. What do you, you know, are you understand what I'm asking?
They're models.
And what we do is we put these models in our head, and that's how we perceive this electromagnetic surrounding
world. Yeah.
Yeah. So we don't know. I mean, I've heard of, we take in information and we project information.
Well, I guess it's the obvious contradictions, you know, like the, but essentially I would suggest to you that science since 1900 is all just to confuse and baffle.
Yeah. Well, science, what is science? Science is recorded observation.
No, I would say the opposite now. Science is just a whole bunch of models that are nonsense.
Well, science is now dogma. It's an alternate religion.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was always created for. It was, but I mean,
no one uses it. For example, you know, the whole reliance on using mobile phones is based on the assumption that there's an ether for a start. Mm-hmm. And yet we use the mobile phones and we use electricity and we can generate power by running a wire between magnets, even though they're not touching the magnets. Somehow they create this
field.
So obviously there's something we can't see that's creating the medium through which all this happens. Yeah.
It's an energy. Yeah. It's just, I mean, electricity is the best. It's like that electrical energy. It's not made and it's not destroyed. It's the process. It's like you can cut off a circuit, but that you've still got that potential energy there. Then you open the circuit and it flows again. You haven't created it. You haven't destroyed it. You've stopped it. You can manipulate it. And maybe that's where we're at. Again, I don't know. I don't know. I'm here to watch, pretty much.
Well, I think that's the best answer and the most honest answer is we don't know.
Don't know.
But we don't know, but we're trying to figure it out. And I usually run from anyone who says they know the truth, because I'm just always looking for it. And I'm gathering as much intelligence as I can from the smartest people I know.
I think it's more a point to discern the lies, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I'll
throw out the lie.
Truth and lie. If somebody believes a lie that he's been told and sells it as the truth, he believes it's the truth. So that's the truth to him.
For what it's worth, the original meaning of to believe is to behave as if something is true.
Right.
So, you know, really, if you understand that what you're doing is testing an idea, then I think it's okay. You know, the only way you can test an idea is to test it. You've got to do it. You know, if I put my hand in fire and it burns me, then, you know, we can assume that fires will do that.
And that's really every child gets burnt and learns that things are hot.
I was, I've got a fireplace out back, and I was thinking this, and this is where my mind goes. It's when you're standing by a fire, you think that the fire is heating you up. But if you actually look at how wood burns, the fire is actually drawing the moisture out of your skin, and that's what hurts. It's an evaporation process.
It's a fast one.
Yeah, and so you think, oh, I'm getting burned. No, you're having the water sucked out of wherever you're putting the flame to.
You're drying out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't know.
Dehydrating at a rapid rate.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a perception thing, and everybody has different perceptions, and everybody's manipulated differently. It's like up in Canada to Maryland. I remember going, my cousins took me to their school one day when we went for a visit up there. And I cried. I had to leave because, I mean, I was like five or six years old, because I just felt so, I didn't know what they were talking about, you know, mm-hmm. as far as their culture went. So everybody has these beliefs, but they're their own beliefs. And even within the society, people have different beliefs. They believe they're true, but, and who's to say? Anyway, I'm going too far out here. I'm running out.
No, it's great. It's terrific.
Oh, we love it.
It's a refreshing.
We love the conversation. It's great, yeah. Glenn. I hope you've enjoyed yourself, and I hope that you definitely come back for another interview if you'd like.
Yeah, this is fun. And kudos for a great song.
This is a good community. I think this community is a good fit, and I'd really like to pick your brain about PSYOPs because it's one of my favorite topics, and I always thought it was probably one of the biggest and probably the most important part of the military. I think that's where all the smart people there go.
That's where they send us. Yeah. Like I said, I took the ASVAB and aced it. The first time I did, I got like a 70 or an 80 when I was in the Air Force. But with age, you get knowledge. And it's like, I went in. The ASVAB is the general knowledge test. It's like mechanical and all this stuff. And I aced it. It's like, I was one of two guys in my unit. And I was like, I don't know how I did it, but yeah, I'll hang out with you guys. So, but yeah, I'll check out Fakeologist next week. Take a break from BitChute and just scan, you know, jump around there for a little bit, see what's going on.
And, I appreciate that. Yeah, I think you'll like it. I'd like to invite you to the Discord as well, where usually I call them Australians because they've been in jail for the longest, but they usually hang out on the weekend in the mornings right up until noon Eastern time, which is their nighttime. So there's some pretty interesting conversations as well. We have two kinds of audios. We have these shows where I do about an hour and talk to interesting guests like yourself and have regular guests. And then we have these audio chats, which is a separate podcast where it's anyone and everything. And we go all over the place and we come in, we leave. And some people stay 6-7 hours, so they're pretty interesting. So maybe
how do I do that? Just the same way I plugged in tonight. Just plug.
Well,
in
how you do that is you got to go. Yeah, your audio will work on your computer, but it's through a program called Discord. Which is another sort of reverse psychology name for a audio collaboration program. Imagine that, Discord. I think it's run by the military probably, but that kind of humor in naming. But if you download Discord on your phone or on your computer, or you can use it in a web browser on your computer, any which way, and then you just go to our server is called Fakeologist, of course, or you can, there's a quick link called shortfake.com/Discord. That's my forwarding service, shortfake.com/Discord. So you can join us there, or but I definitely think you should come back to do another exclusive interview on my interview show, which is what you're on right now.
Okay, because, yeah,
you're definitely way advanced in this in what we love to talk about. This is my favorite topic, PSYOPs, and
some
of the shoots from it. It's fascinating.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like I said, I was only 2 years. It was a short stint, but I got a lot out of it. I'll try to think of some stories of what happened. Like, you know, we'd go out every weekend, or once a month, go out on weekends. And then once a year we could run off for like 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks to either Germany or somewhere. So yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, I think that would be amazing if you could
amazing
come back.
Amazing.
And what a lucky shot in the dark, because I invite a lot of people on the show just through quick comments like I gave to you, and not everyone responds. So it was pretty cool that you said, yeah, why not? Because you haven't done one before.
No, I've never done this before.
So that was kind of a lucky shot in the dark. Every now and then you take a shot and you get lucky. And I think Frank would agree with me that you're definitely a very good guest and catch. And we love your song.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Like I said, I wasn't sure. That was just for the BitChute crowd. I just figured, you know, everybody's had that same story. This is what I'm going to write. Put it out there. Here you go, guys. Have fun. And Kirk's like, no, let's get this out there. All right.
Oh, it's great. And now I'm going to put Kurgan on my list of people to listen to and try that out a bit. I love new links and new information. Everyone brings something really good to the table. Frank, do you have any final comments for Glenn before we close out?
No, obviously, no. Other than I obviously appreciated the conversation and really appreciate you coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, well, we're definitely gonna have you back. I'm gonna play out this Army PsyOps commercial called "Ghosts of the Machine." I thought it was super creepy, but man, was it ever well produced! And maybe Glenn, you might be interested in watching this. This was released on YouTube. I think it still is on YouTube. They're not ashamed of what they do at all, which is amazing. And maybe when you come back, we can talk about current events, the Gaza show that they're putting on. It's just there's so much to talk about as a fakeologist. I mean, COVID, if nothing else, turned almost half the world into fakeologists overnight. My audience became huge.
Where you think it's half?
I think it's a big number. I don't know what the number is. I think 30% are completely normies. They're completely hypnotized. There's, I believe, the 40% in the middle, maybe 50. And that leaves about 10 or 20 people like us, 10 or 20%.
Yeah.
Maybe less that we know what's going on, but we can't get through. We don't have the budget to sway that middle section.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe you have the numbers from your experience in the military.
I've seen the same thing you've seen. It's like that we're like the 20%, and I've read it only takes like 30% of us to say hey really loud, and that other 40-50% will sway with us.
Well, most Western democracies, quote unquote democracies, they're ruled by 30% of the population. Their gang gets in if you believe in voting. So they control the narrative with their 30% majority. So it's not absolute
thing I've gotten into that I'm not proud of. But if you look at the religious makeup of our democracy, the United States government democracy, that's very telling.
Well, a lot of people think they're the smartest people out there. That's why.
Yeah.
A lot of
people. Yeah.
I know. Well, that's what BitChute's famous for, actually. They are supposedly the leaders in the JQ question. I think that's what you're alluding to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hey, facts are facts. You got to go where the truth leads you. And now they're center stage on the world stage. Everyone is paying attention to Israel now, and we didn't ask for it. No. I didn't ask for it. So they brought it to you and me, and now we're dealing with it.
You know, pull up a chair, enjoy the show. Best advice though is just prepare for anything and be ready. Like when you see it, it's like the Tao. When you see it coming, step out of the way and let it pass. Right.
Absolutely.
So anyway, guys, thank you for having me. I got to get out of here.
Thank you, Glenn. I know you're a working man. So am I. And so is Frank. So we'll play this video out and we'll let you go. So thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Take care.
As the world watches and listens in horror, the peaceful pro-democracy demonstration in China comes to a violent and bloody end.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Wolves hiding nearby, whispering, do or die. Around me, you say your last good night while I.
There is another very important phase of warfare. It has as its target not the body, but the mind of the enemy.
The target of psychological warfare is against the enemy's mind.
It is words and ideas.
Ammunition used by Psy War.
Its mission is to influence the thoughts of the enemy soldiers. And at the same time,
is expected and encouraged to study foreign languages and the social sciences such as history, economics, and sociology. He must have a broad and sympathetic understanding of all phases of human experience.
Gripping at my skin, the walls of night closing.
But the use of this force as an integral part of combat has now taken on new form.
My life.